all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's Pat Kreitlow.
Well, welcome back to the second hour of Up North News for this Monday, February 20th, 2023. Coming up this hour, mapping a path back to normal courts. We've become so numb to divisive politics, it's easy to forget that we all still have the power to make some real changes for the better. And that starts tomorrow with the state Supreme Court primary election. Carlene Beshen of Wisconsin's Fair Maps Coalition talks about the ongoing effort to move our state away from the rigged, gerrymandered political maps that let a right-wing legislature obstruct some very popular and bipartisan issues in the state. We're going to check in as well in our next segment with meteorologist Jennifer Vichitsky of Weatherology about the outlook all across Wisconsin, but specifically that middle third of the state that looks to be impacted by a noteworthy snow event Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe even into Thursday in some parts. We'll see what kind of details that she has to share with us on that. In our Civic Media Homeroom section, Terry Bell joins us from the newsroom with three things you should know to start the week, including some items that are going to be mentioned on Up North News Radio in the coming days here. So you'll want to stick around for that. In terms of reaching us, here, I got some phone numbers to share with you. 844-967-2789 up north at 715-388-7155. Our email address is radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Aaron Zommers is standing by in Madison to take those calls and put you up on the air and share whatever you like. Over at Up North News on social media this week, I'm going to be putting up a post at some point about the aromas of Wisconsin. If Wisconsin were to have a state aroma, the good kind, what would it be? And if you missed it last hour, I was inspired by a story that New Mexico is putting up a state aroma based on roasting a certain type of chili pepper, that's something that's very unique to New Mexico. I thought, well, what do you have here? And the best answer I've heard so far from somebody else was the smell of the parking lot at American Family Field before a Brewers game of tailgating. And that is a great Wisconsin aroma. There's some others as well that we'd like you to think about. And I think tomorrow I'll put the post up and let you know that you can start doing something. You can also, though, comment right here. Right here, meaning the video feed of this radio show. Because while we appreciate you listening on civic media stations all across Wisconsin, and as we said last hour, the Civic Media Network is about to grow very nicely. We'll mention that again coming up here. But you can also watch the show on Facebook. You can go to the pages of Up North News or Civic Media or Bull Falls Radio, and you can put comments right there on that post where you see me and Aaron and our guests at times. And if you put a comment there, we will see it, and then we can possibly put that up on the air so that other folks watching the video feed can see your comments, whether it's about a state aroma or anything else that might be going on in the news today. The big thing going on in the news in Wisconsin this week is that state Supreme Court primary election that's going to be held tomorrow. And again, myvote.wi.gov is the place to go when you say to yourself tomorrow, all right, I have heard them talking about this endlessly. And yes, I've got some time. I am going to go vote. Where do I go vote? You go to myvote.wi.gov. And it's important to do that because polling places do shift, especially in primaries, in areas where turnout's going to be a little lower. So they might combine precincts. And instead of, you know, this school and this, you know, senior center, maybe both precincts vote at that school. So go to myvote.wi.gov, find out. Again, Wisconsin has same-day voter registration. So again, at that website, you'll find out exactly what you need, whether it's a driver's license or a utility bill or whatever the case may be, to prove residency. And then you get registered to vote and you show your ID and you get to vote in a state Supreme Court race that has four candidates. You vote for one of them in the primary, and the top two vote-getters advance to the April 4th general election, which will determine a lot of important things in the state. And again, we'll talk about that with Carlene Beshen down at the bottom of the hour. But that is most certainly the place where you can make you can just make a huge difference. I want to find out from Aaron if all this pestering paid off. Did you cast an absentee ballot on this, or are you voting tomorrow in person?
I'm voting tomorrow in person. My polling place is the, I guess, clubhouse, you'd call it, of the apartment complex I live in. So it's really easy. Because it's going to be lower turnout, I didn't feel the need to do the absentee ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. No, that's smart. Now, I did, because even though I love my town hall, it's a nice historic place in Eagle Point. But I've learned a couple of times now, you know, the hard way, things come up and you're not suddenly it's like, oh gosh, now I really got to squeeze in time to vote. So now I just get it out of the way again, in part because it is a long drive to get there. We have kind of a large township, but you can't get much more convenient than, you know, the community room of your complex. It's almost like somebody coming to you with a clipboard and saying, hey, who do you want to vote for?
Yeah, pretty much. And I'm grateful for that.
Okay, very good. When we come back from the break, we'll do some more headlines around the state. We'll start with a quick sports update. We will also be getting a weather update as well from Jennifer Vichitsky of Weatherology. Any sports that I don't finish before she calls in, we'll do the rest of that, because we are now on Giannis wristwatch. And I don't mean that he's wearing a wristwatch. I mean, we're watching his wrist. He was in the All-Star game for only 20 seconds. We'll have more to say about that and what this means for the Milwaukee Bucks going forward, coming up right after this break on Up North News Radio. Giles, 1946, born on this day from the J. Giles Band. So hence a little bumper music from him as well. As I mentioned, we're going to talk to Jennifer Vichitsky in just a second here. And then we're going to have much more to say about sports, and especially Giannis Antetokounmpo. And, just let you know that we're going to be watching his wrist for a while to see what this portends for the future of the Milwaukee Bucks. And the Badgers lost a close one on Saturday. But coming up now, we're going to bring in meteorologist Jennifer Vichitsky from Weatherology, who is going to tell us about a snow event that, again, and I think in our short time that Jennifer and I have been visiting, she knows that from my years, all those years anchoring the news and TV with meteorologists there, folks come in all flavors. And there's some folks like Jennifer saying, look, we're watching this, we're watching it. And then there's other people saying, run for the hills. And so now we want to find out, since Friday and now here to Monday, as she looks especially at Western Wisconsin, is Jennifer still saying, look, we're watching, here's what we're going to get? Or is Jennifer about to say, run for the hills? So good morning, Jennifer. How are you? And how are things looking for this week?
Good morning. Well, you're just setting me up, aren't you, this week?
I'm trying. This is something where, again, we get to be the voice of reason, because I know there's still people out there that are just like, oh my God, 12 to 16 inches. And look, if you think so, I'm going to believe you. I want to hear from you. I want somebody that I trust. And you know, from you, as you watch this system start to work its way, you know, and then go west to east across Wisconsin, what are you thinking so far?
It's going to be an interesting week coming in ahead. So definitely something I think to look forward or to not look forward to, but to look ahead at. Kind of a mild start to the work week today. Nothing too much in some portions of the western portions of the listening area. Some areas of snow in the morning hours, then mixing into rain with temperatures just a little bit above freezing here, right around about Amory and Baldwin into Eau Claire. But the main concern, as you mentioned, will be a little bit later this week here. Tuesday night into Wednesday will be the main concern. If you're in the southern portions of the state, looking at Madison through Milwaukee, looking at chances of chance for some snow mixing with rain and freezing rain here Wednesday into Wednesday night, even into the day on Thursday. No warnings or watches for the southern portions of the state just yet, so we'll keep an eye on that as we get through the next day or two. And it does look like maybe about 2 to 5 or 6 inches of snowfall here from Tuesday night through Thursday for those southern portions of the state. And then as you get more towards the central portions of the state, Wausau to even Richland Center over to Oshkosh, looking at more of a chance for just snowfall here. And with that, about 3 to about 6, maybe even 7 inches of snowfall possible here. And again, it will be mainly the areas of chances for snowfall. Very windy as well, causing low visibility for those areas. But again, not looking at any watches or warnings just yet. But as you mentioned earlier, we're looking at those winter storm watches going into effect here from Amory, Baldwin, even over to Eau Claire as well. And that's going to start by Tuesday evening at about 6 p.m. throughout the day Wednesday and into Thursday evening. So we do have a decent amount of winter weather coming in. And with that, looking at a pretty decent chance for some snowfall coming in Tuesday afternoon into Tuesday evening, and those areas of blowing snow causing low visibility. We're looking at anywhere between about, for that entire system, about 5 to 12 inches of snowfall. So we are looking at that coming in throughout the next several days coming up. So definitely something to keep in mind. The areas of blowing snow will cause some drifting snow as well. So some locations might look like they actually ended up getting quite a bit more, but it is going to cause some low visibility, which is one of the main concerns with this winter storm watch coming up. So definitely something to keep in mind. And of course, something we'll keep you updated with, but it does look like a pretty decent winter system coming in with those 5 to 9 inches of snowfall accumulations possible.
So my wife did the exact correct thing in saying to me late yesterday, do we have enough gas for the snowblower just in case? And I said, of course we do. Of course. So I'm going to be going to get gas later today. Because that's what we do.
Yeah, just have some extra on hand.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. Jennifer Vachitsky, thank you so much. Great to talk to you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, you too.
All right. So there you go. Consider yourself advised in parts of the state. She noted, depending on where you are. 3 inches to a foot of snow is possible watching this thing starting tomorrow. So do keep an eye on it. All right, getting back to Giannis watch of the wrist here. Where is Mr. Antetokounmpo? He's in New York to undergo testing and further evaluation on his injured right wrist. This is an Associated Press report, according to a person with knowledge of the matter who spoke to the AP on condition of anonymity Sunday night, because neither the Bucks nor Giannis released the plans publicly. ESPN first reported that Giannis was going to New York, and it was later confirmed by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. If you missed the cause of all this, Giannis injured his wrist Thursday night in Chicago, attempting to block a shot. He was x-rayed. He exited the game after 9 minutes, did not return, had x-rays. And Bucks coach Mike Budenholzer said at the time that the x-rays came back clean, but there evidently has not been much improvement in the wrist ever since. Antetokounmpo did not join his brothers as planned for the All-Star Skills Challenge Saturday night in Utah. He was filled in for by Bucks teammate and fellow All-Star Drew Holiday. And Giannis played only 20 seconds of the All-Star game last night with a win. His team, he was the coach of his team and defeated Team LeBron. He did get one dunk on their first possession. He then took a foul and headed right to the bench and basically became a coach for the rest of the night. Giannis said after the game, he's taking it day by day, trying to get healthy. He said, I don't think it's smart in any way to play a lot of minutes in the All-Star game. At the end of the day, you want to participate and joke around. But he says, at the end of the day, I feel you also have to be mature, which, again, it's just refreshing to watch this person who still has a young man's joy of the game with the perspective that comes from, you know, not wanting to hot dog it for, you know, for the sake of showing off and then putting the rest of the season in jeopardy. So Milwaukee has the NBA's second best record. As they come out of the All-Star break, the Bucks are 41-17. They are just a half game behind the Celtics in the Eastern Conference. Antetokounmpo was third in NBA scoring at about 32 points per game. And he's definitely got time to rest because of the All-Star break. It's a long one. The Bucks play next, I believe, Friday night against the Miami Heat at home, if I'm not mistaken. So he definitely has time to get things tested out there. The Badger men's basketball team was close in the final minutes of their game against Rutgers, playing in Madison on Saturday afternoon. But in the end, they missed their final four shot attempts and lost to Rutgers 58-57. The Badgers are now 7-9 in the Big Ten, 15-11 overall, and they will host Iowa on Wednesday. The Marquette men's basketball team has been on a long break, and they will play tomorrow against Creighton. The Brewers' spring training is well underway, and that first spring training game is just 5 days away on Saturday versus the Dodgers. The regular season doesn't open until March 30th, so we got a little ways to go, and I'm sure I will gush about spring training a little bit less as time goes on, but especially when you've got, you know, a foot of snow in the forecast, it's nice to have baseball to think about when we can. Again, if you'd like to reach the show, talk about what's on your mind today, what you're seeing in the headlines, 844-967-2789, 715-388-7155, or radio at upnorthnewswi.com. The topics that we have been covering today include President Biden making a surprise visit to Ukraine, making an appearance in Kyiv, and standing with the Ukrainian people this week, marking the one-year anniversary of Russia's invasion. What a lot of folks thought was going to be probably quick work of invading Ukraine, annexing it, and then whatever terrible things they'll do to the people there. And that's not just talk. Russia has a history of brutal oppression of the Ukrainian people, at one point starving to death an entire swath of the population by just taking or burning all of their crops. This is not some kind of a happy, hey neighbor, we just want to share the land with you. It's nothing like that at all. And that's evident not just by history, but of course by recent events. Vladimir Putin's not trying to win some war by, you know, going after the Ukrainian military. He's trying to win a war by blowing up innocent children and women and families and civilian targets and buildings. If you're of a mind of, well, that's the way war works today, I guess I feel bad for you, because that shouldn't be anybody's first choice, to try to annex another country through whatever brutality happens to work. I mean, how do you govern a place like that if you actually win it, except through continued oppression? And where does it stop then? If Putin gets Ukraine, you know, again, Lithuania is, you know, looking nervous. Finland is even looking nervous at that point, saying, what's going to happen on our border? What's going to happen in Poland? All of the other countries in the old Soviet Union that Putin has said he would like to, if it were up to him, he would cobble them back together. So this is not something where the European allies and where America and where the rest of the world can be indifferent. This is real. It's something we don't tend to think about on a daily basis. It's not a daily part of our lives. But every so often we get these reminders, like through this week's anniversary, that while it may not be a daily part of our lives, it is an important part of our lives. There is a lot at stake here about making sure that free countries can remain free. And that's going to be the case in Ukraine. Look, Volodymyr Zelensky, he's a former TV comedian, turned kind of like their Daily Show anchor. He did not have a lot of political experience going into this, but he won an election. People wondered if he would be up to the job. He has proven to be more than capable of the job, but that's not a sure thing that he's going to be reelected the next time that there are elections there, because that's how a democracy works. I always think of, you know, example A for all of this is right at the end of World War II, Britain had defeated the Nazis, and yet Winston Churchill lost his seat as prime minister at the end of the war. You know, folks were looking for a new direction at that point, and that could certainly happen there. But that's what's supposed to happen in a democracy, is that the voters get to make the choice. The military doesn't make it. A politician trying to corral the military doesn't make that decision. A politician trying to overturn an election doesn't get to decide who runs the country. The people do. And it's up to us to defend that notion with all of our might, because if it goes away, or when it goes away in other countries, it's damn hard to bring it back. You know, look at Hungary right now. Hungary made that slide into what we now call Trumpism, but it's simply authoritarianism. You start by, you know, micromanaging and then taking over, you know, the universities and schools. Hello, Ron DeSantis in Florida. You basically chase away or imprison or harass anybody who might oppose you and want to stand up for democracy. And how many chance of lock her up do we have to hear in this country before we take that threat seriously, before we stand for democracy, not just in Ukraine, but in our own home, and stop fighting things or stop having things like rigged maps like we have here in Wisconsin? We'll talk to Carlene Beshin all about that from the Fair Maps Coalition on the other side of this break. This is Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
There are so many ways to follow this program, and you can do so by going to civicmedia.us, the Civic Media website. And if you click on shows, you'll see all the various shows. If you click on one of them, like Up North News Radio, you'll see a listing hour by hour of our most recent shows. And you can click on any one of those hours to listen to it right there on the website. Or you can click on it to listen to it through your favorite podcast platform. And you can subscribe to it as a podcast as well and listen to the show that way. If you click on stations, keep updating that, because as we mentioned in our last hour, we are adding stations in Racine, La Crosse, and in the Chippewa Valley. We are very excited about that. We'll probably talk more about that with Terry Bell coming up in our next segment from the Civic Media Newsroom. But as we have been saying, perhaps ceaselessly, it is going to be a big election tomorrow, then again on April 4th, when we talk about the state Supreme Court. And again, there's been so many talk about some other issues, and I don't mean to bring them down when I talk about, you know, abortion or gun safety or whatever the case may be. But in my mind, it all starts with no longer having corrupt maps in Wisconsin. When Republicans took power after the 2010 election, one of the first things they did in 2011 was throw out all the rules about how you reapportion the state's legislative and congressional districts to adjust for population shifts. And instead, they found a way to rig these maps in ways that have given them a stranglehold on power, even though we are a 50-50 state. And here to talk more about that with me is Carlene Beshin of the Fair Maps Coalition, and a tireless advocate for trying to stop the process of rigging the system the way it's happening right now. Carlene, good morning to you.
Good morning. It's nice to be here, Pat.
Yeah, so nice to have you here and hear from you all about this. And while I've laid out some of the big stakes and the history, it remains yet, Carlene, an issue that plenty of people still have zero to minimal familiarity with. And that just Absolutely. Tells you, mm-hmm. you know, it's not easy to reach more than 5 million people, you know, and talk to them
no. about it. It's very much not. Yeah,
but and that's why, of course, the work goes on. So let's just take it from that very ground level standpoint. You're in a coffee shop or you know, a store or whatever. Somebody asks what you do, and they go, "Oh yeah, there's some. What is this gerrymandering thing? What is it that you do and such? How do you first talk about this issue to somebody who tells you, I am a complete novice at this. What do I need to know?"
First, I ask them what the issues are that they care about. I actually came to this work through the door of public education. I was a public educator, and I realized after I had testified before the Joint Finance Committee in multiple biennial budget seasons, which we are in now, that it didn't matter what I said because the legislators were unaccountable. And when I say unaccountable, it means that they were in districts where they were safe. The lines were drawn in a way that it didn't matter that their constituents weren't happy, because so few people vote across party lines. If they were to vote for a Democrat in a blue area, a Democrat was going to be elected. Even if they voted for a Republican, because it was so blue, a Democrat would be elected, and vice versa. And so, as you said before, in 2011, those maps were drawn in such a way that people would have to overwhelmingly vote against the party that they see themselves as to elect someone of the opposite party. And so issues are the things that are not being addressed, be it public education funding, gun violence prevention, legalizing cannabis, all kinds of environmental protection, simple as, you know, doing something about PFAS, which people know, right, is poisoning wells. It couldn't be dealt with because so many of the elected officials are beholden to the people who pay for their campaigns, who, basically paid for the maps that we have. And so politicians of both parties really do not have to be accountable to their constituents.
No, they don't. And as a result, you have, again, this basically 50-50 state, but there are these issues that are not 50-50. And we know because mm-hmm. there's no shortage of polling that shows that, you know, north of 70% of Wisconsinites believe in a woman's right to control her own body and her healthcare decisions. 90% believe there should be, you know, exceptions to any abortion bans for rape or incest. Approaching 90% of Wisconsinites support universal background checks and red flag laws to reduce the amount of mass shootings, legalized marijuana, protecting Social Security, all these things that they should be, no-brainers.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have some politicians who can protect their power by rigging the maps, you know, we don't get any progress on these issues. So, Carlene, it takes us to the point that people ask, they say, well, can you really do anything about that? Where doesn't it just happen? Don't both parties do it? And it can't even be fixed. And my first answer to them is to point to Iowa, which is a Republican controlled state.
Yep.
And yet, because they put public service ahead of partisan politics, they were among the leaders in something called nonpartisan redistricting.
Absolutely.
Can you tell folks about that?
Yeah. And well, that is our ultimate goal, nonpartisan redistricting. Ultimately, we would like to have legislation passed by our state legislature, which should be more collaborative, that says a nonpartisan body should draw the map. So back in the 80s, Republicans in Iowa put such a system into place, and they use civil servants, so the equivalent of our Legislative Reference Bureau, to hold hearings all around the state of Iowa. They find out from folks how they feel they should be represented, communities of interest, folks who have things in common with one another and who live in a same region, et cetera, that should be in the same districts together. That civil service body, which is what we advocate for here, would create maps. They'd have those out for public review. They'd get feedback on them, and then they would submit them to the state legislature. And the state legislature would ultimately vote on those maps and pass them or not. They get in Iowa, there are three opportunities, and for those maps to be accepted or rejected by their state legislature. And in those 40 years, on those four cycles, they have never been rejected, and they have never been litigated. So the millions of dollars that we have spent in this state litigating maps over time could be avoided, could absolutely be avoided. The last time in the state of Wisconsin there was any collaboration on creating maps was after the 1970 census. Now, look at my face. I was in middle school in 1970. That's a long time ago.
It was, and frankly, when it was done, or at least done before it would go into the court systems, former Democratic Congressman Dave Obie used to talk mm-hmm. all the time about how he could work with Republicans like Tom Petri and Jim Sensenbrenner, mm-hmm. who nobody's going to mistake them for being Democrats, but they had enough honor, intelligence, respect for the voters that they would take those congressional maps and adjust the lines in such a way that still reflected the will of the voters, because that's just what you do.
Right.
But legislative maps, the history of redistricting, I mean, going back 100 years, there have been fits and starts where people have tried to, kind of rig the system more toward, like, you know, rural maps had tremendously unfair advantages in the, I think it was the 20s, 30s, and 40s before that finally got fixed. There was finally the ruling of essentially, what is it, one person, one vote for redistricting that came out in the 60s.
Yes.
And all of this is to say that politicians come in all flavors, all shapes and sizes.
Absolutely.
But many of them still understand a sense of fair play. But if you don't have enough faith that there are enough politicians today from both parties to get it done, then why wouldn't you support a nonpartisan commission or some other kind of party to take so much of that power out of politicians' hands and put it into the hands of the people?
Well, the voters do. Voters do want that. It is the people with the power who are really unwilling to give it up. And that's the tragic piece of it, because we stop mattering as the residents and the voters of the state. And so, you know, like I said, our ultimate goal is to have a legislative fix to this. But in the meantime, we have this opportunity beginning tomorrow with the Supreme Court primary, and then in April with the Supreme Court election, to elect a justice who will follow the state's constitution, who will implement with his or her colleagues maps that really do reflect the state. In the last eight elections, this was a figure that was given to me in 2020. In the previous eight elections, the average statewide vote in the state of Wisconsin was 50.5% Democratic and 49.5% Republican. Now, that may have changed after the 2020 and 2022 elections, but in the previous eight, that's what it was. And so when you have a state that is just so clearly purple, it's ridiculous that our state legislature is so completely out of balance with that kind of a vote.
So for the current maps, and there's a long story that we don't have time for as to how we went from bad maps to worse maps over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
But these current maps, there is legal work involved. It could take a while, which is part of what makes the makeup of this state Supreme Court race so important. But while it works its way through the courts and through the election systems, part of what the Fair Maps Coalition has been doing is, you know, on the local basis, county by county, and sometimes in individual municipalities, has been putting this notion up for referendum and asking people or county board members or voters at the local level, what do you think about fair maps, and what results do you get for those?
You know, I should run to my closet and get my map out, my purple map. It's amazing that overwhelmingly in counties where there has been an opportunity for referendum, and it's 32 of them now, the referendums have passed overwhelmingly. And we're talking about most of those counties have been red counties, people who elect Republicans. But they say, this is a messed up system. We should not be deciding our legislative maps in this way. So they understand that the issues that they're caring about, whether it's shared revenue, that's a big one that maybe we'll get some resolution on this time, and you know, all kinds of things are not being addressed, and they know that that doesn't matter what politicians are in power, that those things are not being addressed, and so they really want to change. And that's what we're here to help them get.
Can I assume that even as the court cases go through and the Supreme Court election happens, that you're going to continue that work
of
asking at the local level?
Absolutely.
So in our closing minute here, folks hear about this and they say, this is not a Democratic Party cause. It's not a Republican Party cause. This is something anybody should want to be involved in, and I want to be involved in this. What do you suggest they do?
Well, I suggest that they get on our mailing list so that they get. I don't send a lot of emails, just so you know, and I don't use the emails for the weekly emails for fundraising. They're strictly informational and ways that people can get involved in this at the local level. They can email me directly and I can answer questions for them about how they'd like to be involved. We can get speakers for them so that they can educate their neighborhoods. I think the first thing is to become educated yourself, you know, read some things about it, talk to folks, and then figure out how you are most comfortable and feel most able to be involved, because this really does take all of us.
And you can learn more at fairmapswi.com. And of course, the more immediate step is to vote tomorrow and
Absolutely.
Learn more vote at myvote.wi.gov. Carlene Beshin, thank you so much. Great
thank
to talk
you.
To you on another
nice
edition of
again,
Movement Monday. Well, I'm sure we'll be monitoring your progress along the way. Thanks again.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Terry Bell from the newsroom at Civic Media. I'm going to talk about three things you should know to start the week as we kind of look ahead to other issues and news stories we'll be covering in the coming days. You're up north. Well, here we are in the Civic Media homeroom. Why do you call it homeroom? Well, because we're all gathered together here in the Civic Media family. And then at 8 o'clock, everybody goes off to different places. Some of you go off to listen to Earl Ingram, some to Stephanie Miller, some to Todd Alba. And then later on, you've got all these other shows that you listen to. Some of you come back around at the end of the day for Dom and Crute or Dueling Tangents. But, you know, right now, it's kind of like homeroom when we're back in school and we make the announcements. And we made the announcement earlier about Civic Media expansion. We'll get to that in just a second. But one of the things we do on Mondays in Homeroom is talk about the three things that you should know to start the week. And that's where we bring in News Director for Civic Media, Terry Bell. Terry, how are you?
Good morning, Pat. You're giving me flashbacks talking about Homeroom all the way back to high school. North Crawford.
I know.
Go Trojans.
But think of it as it's a gathering place, you
it
know,
is.
Where we all catch up.
And I then like
it. We go our merry ways. How was your weekend?
It was pretty low key. How was yours?
Mine was great. Meeting up with my wife's old high school gang. Basically, there
nice.
There were, you know, 14 of us. There should have been a couple of more couples who couldn't make it. And by and large, they kind of you know the phrase buy local. They married local. You know, people that were either classmates or, you know, maybe they were a year or two ahead or behind them. And I'm one of the rare, you know, outsiders. But this was, you know, I met Sherry just out of high school, basically. And so I've been a part of that group. In fact, one of the high school reunions, I forget if it was the 10-year, the 15-year, I won the trivia contest, which was all trivia about all the classmates.
Wow.
Because I'd known them long enough that I knew their various quirks. So anyway, that was a blast. But I got to tell you, it started on a great note Friday to get that note from Civic Media that thanks to an arrangement with Magnum Media, we are going to be taking possession. Well, not we, because Up North News is a separate entity. But, you know, the Civic Media is going to be taking possession of stations in La Crosse and Racine and up here in the Chippewa Valley, WCFW. A real legacy station up here, where, you know, the catchphrase, their tagline for decades has been where FM means fine music. And now we've got to change it to something like where FM means fun mornings or something. We're going to have some fun with it once we finish and log on there. But I'm very thrilled to be bringing news and political conversation back to the Chippewa Valley.
I had a look at the coverage map that accompanied that press release, and holy cow, there's barely any square footage left in Wisconsin that the company isn't covering now. It's very exciting.
It is.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. So that makes it that much more work for you as news director to keep an entire state informed and to do that on Mondays. We talk about three things you need to know to start the week. What might be one of those things in your in basket?
Well, the first one, of course, what everybody's talking about right now is the primary, the spring primary tomorrow. A lot of talk about the state Supreme Court race, and rightfully so. But there are some races down ballot that are pretty important. I want to start with the 8th Senate seat, the one that Alberta Darling vacated when she announced her retirement. It's going to be a very interesting race for a lot of reasons. One is the candidates that are running in the GOP primary. There's only one Democrat, so the Republican primary is the only one of consequence tomorrow. The candidates in that give a dynamic that's very interesting. What Democrats have been doing to try to influence the outcome of that race has been very interesting. And the winner of the April election, that will also be very interesting because if Republicans win, they will regain a two-thirds majority in the Senate, which is not everything, but it is meaningful for a lot of ways. They'll be able to say no to some appointed state officials, maybe even fire some. Republicans in the Senate will be a little more powerful after April if they win that election. Democrats could hold that back if they win. The 8th district in northern Milwaukee is an interesting one. It's a changing one. It's right in the heart of the Wow County country, which we've associated with being very Republican in recent years. But like a lot of suburban areas around the country, it's changing. And those communities are voting more Democratic all the time. Wisconsin Democrats think they may have an opening here. And it'll be very interesting to see how the 8th Senate district race plays out.
Yes, we have spoken with Jody Habersinikin, the Democratic candidate in that district, and we'll find out, who the Republican candidate coming out of that primary will be tomorrow. One of the other things that comes up is how, CRT, critical race theory, mm-hmm. It's an obscure legal theory. It's only taught in law schools, and yet right-wing activists somehow managed to turn that into teaching any kind of a comprehensive history lesson. And they used it with great effect in some cases, like the Virginia governor's election. And it's still an issue in some circles and school board elections. Whenever you hear CRT, it's like they're not actually teaching CRT. They're teaching, a comprehensive history about systemic racism or, race relations in America. Anyway, folks are asking, what's going to be the next CRT? Because there is going to be something. And two Democratic legislators, both Francesca Hong of Madison and Christina Shelton of Green Bay, attended a legislative conference recently that is frequented by Republican politicians and learned a bit more. And we're looking forward to telling you about that. Terry, I know you're familiar with ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, is one of those groups that people don't know about, but every legislator knows about because you go to these conferences and it's supposed to be idea sharing. But, you never know what kind of ideas are going to be shared at these things.
Well, and the ideas that are shared pretty much come from the top down. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's so much. And ALEC is important to keep an eye on, because if you see an initiative in one state, likely it's being proposed in several states. I don't think there are many of these initiatives that actually spring up organically anymore. No. They're crafted by these national think tanks. Yeah, ESG, in case you were wondering, it's kind of the new CRT. But this pertains to investing, not to education. ESG stands for Environmental Social Governance. In short, it means that there's more of a thought in the world of investing that other circumstances should be taken into consideration besides a company's bottom line. How decisions made at the corporate level affect the environment, how they affect employment in any given area, and that individuals and organizations like the Wisconsin Retirement System take different considerations into account other than the bottom line. Right. There's an attempt to make this seem like a bad idea.
Yeah, like a bad idea to not be completely ruled by the profit motive and the fiduciary responsibility that, in my mind, has really perverted capitalism from its original intent. And then quickly, the third thing will be, we've heard all about TikTok, but as I've intimated as well, Facebook has its own issues with human trafficking and drug trafficking. And Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire will be here tomorrow to talk about, hey, you can talk about TikTok all you want, but we got problems here at home to concern ourselves with as well. So those are three things to know to start the week. Terry Bell, News Director for Civic Media. So good to talk to you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Pat.
All right, that's going to do it for us. We've got Earl Ingram next in Waukesha, Oshkosh and Green Bay, Stephanie Miller in Madison, Todd Alba around the rest of the Civic Media.